Welcome to the new Zman. Welcome to the new Talmidim. It is a pleasure to see all of you. Be'ezras Hashem, we're going to... And anyone who wasn't here until now need not worry. Basically, we do sugyos in this year, so we learn a topic relating to machshava as a sugya, looking at the various makoros, and accordingly, there is really no reason why you can't start now. Though we had an introduction at the beginning, the introduction is certainly not ma'akev. So, the first topic we're going to begin with is Olam Haba, Tchiyas HaMeisim, Gan Eden, and Gehenim. And this is a question that really fascinates people today. I'm not so sure why, but I've noticed that when I've given shiurim in public places outside of YU, and you talk about Olam Haba, everybody's all of a sudden incredibly interested, and they, Olam Hazeh is also important. But it's a question, it's a topic that that I know that I get a lot of questions about and that interest people. And I was joking a little before. It is actually a very interesting topic. So the first question, though, that we're going to begin with is this really something that we should study? Meaning to say, perhaps there is no purpose, and in fact, quite the opposite. We can never succeed in learning this topic. The Gemara in Bracho says, again, this first Makar on page 2, Kol hanaviim kulan lo nisnavu elo limos hamashiach, aval liolam haba ayin lo rasa elokim zulasecha. That while when it comes to Yemos HaMashiach, we have a lot of descriptions of what Yemos HaMashiach is. The Nevi'im talk about it at length, even the Chumash talks about it in Sefer Dvarim explicitly. So we have a lot of mekoros in Tanakh, certainly, that relate to Yemos HaMashiach. Why? Yemos HaMashiach is fundamentally a this-worldly experience, meaning to say, it takes place on Olam Hazeh, in this world. Now, to be sure, there's a debate whether nature will change or whether nature won't change and the like, but even if you take the approach that nature will change and things will be extraordinarily different, not the view of Shmuel, it is still the case that it's a this-worldly experience. Ma she'en kein, Olam Haba, is something which the Gemara tells us even the Nevi'im were unable to depict, unable to comprehend, that no one but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able or is able to conceive of Olam Haba. Meaning to say, fundamentally, from our perspective in this world, when we are physical creatures comprised of a guf and a neshama, we are limited and therefore unable to perceive of and understand what Olam Haba is. And if that's the case, so then what exactly are we doing here? And why is this something that we're going to consider? You do have 42 pages of Makoros. So, what are we out to accomplish? The Rambam picks up on this in Hilchos Tshuva, the next source. Hatova gdola shetia ba hanefesh ba'olam haba ein shum derech ba'olam hazeh la'siga v'leidosa. It's absolutely impossible in Olam Hazeh to understand the nature of that goodness. Shein anu yodin ba'olam hazeh ela tovas haguf v'la anu misavim. Aval osa hatova gdola ad meod ve'in la erech betovos ha'olam hazeh ash ela derech mashal aval b'derech ha'emes shenaroch tovas ha'nefesh ba'olam haba betovos haguf ba'olam hazeh b'machal uv'mishte eino kein ela osa hatova gdola ad ein cheker ve'in la erech v'dimyon hush amar David ma'rav tuvcha asher tzachante l'reacha. So not only can we not understand it, but there's no corollary, there's no dimyon, there's no mashal that we could give to even somehow allegorize the nature of Olam Haba. Kvar hodiunu chachamim arishonim shetovas Olam Haba ein koach ba'adam lehasiga alboria. Here he says alboria. Ve'ein yodeya gadla v'yafya v'atzma ela kodesh baruch hu levado. V'shekol hatovos shemisnavim bahem anevim liyisrael einan ela ledvarim shebeguf shenanin bahen yisrael yimos hamashiach bizman shetashav hamimshal liyisrael. Aval tovas chayolam haba ein lo erech v'dimyon v'lo dimua anevim kidei shelo yifchesu osa b'dimyon. Here the Rambam adds something quite interesting. He says that the reason why the Nevi'im did not try to depict Olam Haba is because to do so would diminish it. Meaning to say, any analogy we would give, if I were to say, imagine the greatest pleasure in Olam Hazeh, and then 100 times better, that's Olam Haba. So to make such a dimyon would diminish it. Any comparison we give would be taking away. Who she Yeshayahu Amar Ain Lo Rasa Lo Kibzu Asecha Yaasel Machakelo Kilomar Hatova Shelo Rasa Usa Ayin Navi Vilo Ra Usa El Elokim Asa Usa Elokim La Adam Shemachakelo. So all we could say is that this is something that we can't understand. Amar Chachamim Kol Neviim Kulam Lo Nivu Eli Mos Mashiach Aval Olam Haba Ain Lo Rasa Bilti Lizul Asecha. Nevertheless, the Ramban writes that perhaps we can get a glimpse of Olam Haba because we recognize that even in this world, we do experience and enjoy non-physical pleasures, both good and bad. Honor, revenge, or lahavdil, intellectual pleasures of Torah are things that are indeed very enjoyable. It's not the case that the only thing we enjoy in this world is a good steak. And in fact, the Rambam himself writes that pleasure is part of the very mitzvah of Avas Hashem. The Rambam writes in Sefer Mitzvos, V'amitzvah shlishis, hi shetzivanu lahavo, yis'ala, Vizen shenizbonin v'naskil mitzvosav u'peulosav ad shenasigehu v'nisaneg b'hasago tachlis hatanug v'zos hi ha'ava ha'mechuyaves. Remarkable. The Rambam writes, what is the ava mechuyaves that we have to have ba'olam hazeh? It's to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the extent that we experience tachlis hatanug. So even in olam hazeh, we are able to experience spiritual pleasures. And the truth of the matter is that those spiritual pleasures can exceed any conceivable physical pleasures on this world. And thus the Ramban writes in Shar Gemul that it's appropriate to use that analogy to some degree to imagine the nature of the spiritual pleasure of Olam Haba. But we also have to remember that they are ultimately incomparable. And like the Rambam said, whatever we could even conceive of this world, in this world, is a pale comparison. The Ramban writes that the reason we can't understand Olam Haba is because to understand what Olam Haba is, we would have to be there. Meaning to say that the pleasure of Olam Haba relates to hasagos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to see shortly that there are debates as to the nature of Olam Haba. The Rambam says there's no physical guf, and the Ramban says that there is, and the like. And those debates notwithstanding, everyone agrees to the basic fundamental point that Olam Haba is incredible because it's an opportunity to reach levels of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're incapable of doing as long as we're here. As long as we have a physical body, as long as we're comprised of a body and a soul, so then we are limited in our capacity to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The basic idea of Olam Haba, the details will work out. And there's machlokes, for sure. But the idea of the Nitzchius HaNeshama, which means to say that after we die, we don't really die. Death is nothing but the separation of the body and the soul. So that concept, that the soul continues to exist, Lenetzach Netzachim, is something that A, everybody agrees to, and moreover, everybody agrees that the pleasure of Olam Haba is a pleasure of reaching Hakaros and Hasagos in Yediyas Hashem that we can't experience here and now. And that being the case, so by definition, we can't truly relate to it. Like the Ramban says, if we would understand it, we would be there. We're not there because we're still alive. We still have a physical body. And that being the case, we're limited in our ability to understand. Yes?
I wanted to ask about Karis.
We're going to get to Karis. We'll get to Gan Eden and the differences between Gan Eden and Olam Haba and Tchias HaMesim and all. Bezus Hashem. If you look at the table of contents on page one. So we'll get there. Siyata Dishmaya. So the first reason that we shouldn't study Olam Haba is because we can't understand it. Number two is what we saw in the Rambam, which is that no depiction can do it justice. V'lo dimua ha-nevi'im k'dei shelo yifchesu osa b'dimyon. Which raises another interesting question, which is that the Rambam writes that the Torah and the Nevi'im describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu in physical terms so that we're able to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dibra Torah Kelashim B'nei Adam, meaning to say that by using anthropomorphic terms, we are able to concretize within ourselves the realness of his existence and the like. So, despite the fact that those are false, they're inherently false, nevertheless, the Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, decided that it's important to sometimes use analogies and the like, despite their falseness, because of the importance of integrating true belief in his existence. So that being the case, well, why didn't they do the same thing legabe olam haba? In other words, what does the Rambam mean when he says lo dimu anevim kedei shelo yifchesu osa b'dimyon? When it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that wasn't an issue. So why is it a reason not to describe Olam Haba? And the answer, I think, probably relates to the third reason why we shouldn't study what Olam Haba is. And that is another point that the Rambam makes in the next parak. We'll return to this at length a little bit later. But that is that Olam Haba should not be what motivates us to do mitzvos. The Rambam writes that someone who serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get Olam Haba is serving out of fear, and that we should strive to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of love. Out of love means doing what's true because it's true, and not being motivated by Olam Haba. And therefore, there's another reason why there's not to spend so much time focusing on Olam Haba. That is not indeed supposed to be our motivation. And B, it's also a reason why Lo Dimu Anevi'im. In other words, when it comes to Yediyas Hashem, when it comes to Metzias Hashem, so it's necessary to understand that he exists. And accordingly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah depicts himself in human terms so that we're able to understand this very important concept. Masha'ein Kain, when it comes to Olam Haba, while it is true that belief in Olam Haba is a fundamental principle, but the understanding of Olam Haba is not a fundamental principle of faith, and therefore there's no reason to take away from it through being medamet. And accordingly, lo dimu ha-nevi'im k'dei shelo yifchesu osa b'dimayon. So the third reason not to spend time studying Olam Haba is that it's not actually supposed to be what motivates us. And finally, the fourth reason.
Does the Rambam actually say that? Where does the Rambam actually say that the reason is because we're not supposed to
The Rambam writes that it's not supposed to motivate us. That's the next parak. We'll read it. It's in the Makaros. What we were reading from until now is Parak Ches of Hilchos Tshuva, and in Parak Tes and Parak Yud of Hilchos Tshuva, he talks about how this isn't something that's supposed to motivate us. And finally, the fourth reason is articulated by the Rav. I'll read to you. This is from Halachic Man on page 32 of Halachic Man, which you should have on your Makor sheet. Oh, there it is, bottom of page 2. The halacha is not at all concerned with a transcendent world. The world to come is a tranquil, quiet world that is wholly good, wholly everlasting, and wholly eternal, wherein a man will receive the reward for the commandments which he performed in this world. However, the receiving of reward is not a religious act. Therefore, halachic man prefers the real world to a transcendent existence, because here, in this world, man is given the opportunity to create, act, accomplish, while there, in the world to come, he is powerless to change anything at all. Yafesha achas shel tshuva ma'asim tovim ba'olam hazeh yosem echai olam haba. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos Dalet Yud Zayin says, it's known that the Gra and others, which is really the concept that the Rav here is depicting in his own very powerful language, relished, in a sense, Olam Hazeh, because Olam Hazeh is a place where we could do mitzvos, where we have bechira, and Olam Haba is not. And therefore the Rav said that fundamentally the halacha is this worldly focused, because it's on this world that we could actually accomplish something. And again, this is perhaps the fourth reason why it is that we shouldn't study this topic. So perhaps we could end right here, and that will be a short shiur. However, it's obviously not so simple. Many of the Rishonim wrote at length about the nature of Olam Haba. The Ramban's Shaar Gemul is but one example. Chazal certainly spend a lot of time depicting it. Later on, we'll talk about why it is that it's not described or even explicitly referred to in Tarsha Bichtav, but it is certainly the case that in Tarsha Balpeh, it is described and elaborated upon at length. And therefore, despite the four reasons why we shouldn't study this sugya, there are many reasons why we should. So one of them is practical. The Michtav Meliyahu writes, and this is a idea which the Bali Musar spend a lot of time discussing on page 3. Hichziku ha-tzadikim zal l'neged einayim tamid es tziyure ganeden v'atanug ha-nifla shebederech Hashem. Uvizeh nitzchu es yitzram v'amdu neged ha-nisyonos. Chazal horu lanu derech zos, ki harei kol hagadata shebishas uvemidrashim mileya tziyurim chayim umuchashim mamish. Ve'im ha'adam yilamdem heitev, v'yishmireim bezichrono, v'ya'aleim al dimyono, yesh bekocham lif'ol al libo b'li safek. Even if it's true, and Rav Dessler certainly agrees, that ideally we should not be motivated by Olam Haba, in the sense of reward, nevertheless, doing so, or at least imagining Olam Haba, imagining Gan Eden, is a very powerful tool in Olam Hazeh. The tzaddikim, the chassidim, not just the women and children, as the Rambam puts it, but the tzaddikim and the chassidim would imagine and think about Olam Haba, think about Gan Eden. And this is something that's very powerful in terms of inspiring someone to do that which is right. If you face a dilemma and a nisayon, and you feel like you could go either way, so remembering that whatever pleasure or gain you'll get in Olam Hazeh for doing the wrong thing, pales in comparison to whatever you would receive in Olam Haba. So that's something that's powerful and that's effective. It's something that even Hasidim and Tzaddikim do. And that is one reason why it is worthwhile to consider this matter. Besides from the practical considerations that Rav Dessler highlights, it's clear from the Mishnah that this understanding, this concept, is extraordinarily important. The Mishnah says, Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelek l'olam haba, shenemar v'amech kulam tzadikim li'olam yirshu aretz, netzer mata'ay ma'asei adai l'hispa'er. Parenthetically, and this is something perhaps we'll return to a little later, you'll see that the Mishnah refers to olam haba as what? Aretz, right? The understanding that the pasuk that says li'olam yirshu aretz is a reference to olam haba. Now, that's true because a eternal Yerusha can't be something that's ba'olam hazeh. That's the basis of this. But it is also the case that Chazal understood that very frequently references to aretz are actually allusions to olam haba. The metaphors almost always land. Eretz, nachla. We even say a person has a chelek in olam haba. Just like you could have a chelek in karka, you have a chelek in olam haba. The pasuk we say in Shema, Laman yirbu yamechem al ha'adama. Adama is again a reference to Yom Shkulo Aruch. It's a reference to Olam Haba. The Rambam picks up on this in Hilchos Tshuva. He writes, Shekol Yisrael yeshlam chelok Olam Haba, afal pi shechatu, shenemar v'amech kulam tzadikim liolam yirshu aretz. Eretz zu mashal, kelomar eretz hachayim, v'hu ha'olam haba. So, later we'll return to understanding why the psukim employ this particular imagery, but nevertheless, it's a ha'ara to note. So the Mishnah says that everybody has a chelek in olam haba, except then it continues and tells us that there are those that don't. Ve'elu she'ein lam chelek olam haba. This part of the Mishnah is not in the song for some reason. Ha'omer ein tchias ha'meisim min ha'torah. First and foremost, someone who denies tchias ha'meisim loses their chelek olam haba. Why? The Gemara says, Hu kafar ba lefikach lo yelo chelek bo. If you deny tchias ha'meisim, which is tantamount to denying olam haba, this Mishnah seems to presume the opinion, which is the predominant view in Chazal and in Rishonim, that Tchias HaMesim is the period that ushers in Olam Haba. We'll elaborate upon that later. But the Gemara says, Hu kafar ba, you denied Olam Haba, lefikach lo yelo chelek bo. Mida keneged mida, you lose Olam Haba. So what the Mishnah is telling us is that belief in Olam Haba, at the very least, is something that is so important and so fundamental that denial of Olam Haba warrants the absolute most egregious penalty. Perhaps it's not a penalty, we'll return to that as well, but the most egregious penalty possible, namely the loss of Olam Haba. The Rama, in his Hakdama to Perka Chelek, picks up on this, why it's so important to understand and to think about Olam Haba. V'inyan Olam Haba, Yisod Gadol Miyisod HaTorah, Sharei HaKofer Bo, Afal pi sheyesh biyado Torah masim tovim ein lo chelek liolam haba. Kidi mefarish b'masnisin umosif ba umosif lei birura b'gemara. V'lo od. Ela shetziduk dino shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu talui bo. First and foremost, the reason why belief in olam haba is so fundamental is because there can be no justice without olam haba. If someone denies olam haba, so they're essentially saying that les din v'les dayan. Because we know that in this world there is no justice. All you have to do is look around and see suffering, see the righteous who don't always enjoy an easy life on this world, see the wicked prosper, see children die, and we know that there's no justice on this world. And therefore, denying olam haba is so problematic, and belief in Olam Haba is so essential, because without it there can be no justice. Lefikach trichim anu lefarish inyano, the Rama explains, and therefore it's not just enough to believe in it, to say, okay, there's tzidduk hadin, because I know there's Olam Haba. The Rama says, no. Because it's so fundamental, we have to be mefarish inyano. We have to explain it and understand it to the best of our ability. Lefi ma shekibalnu, May avoseinu, may rabboseinu. Moreover, the Rama says that this understanding that we are going to get about Olam Haba has to be based off of Kabbalah. Kabbalah meaning not mysticism, but tradition. Everything that we do know about it is based off of tradition, and therefore we need to employ tradition to understand it. And in fact, the Rambam as well agrees to the absolute fundamentality of Olam Haba, of belief in Olam Haba. In fact, it's listed in the Yud Gimel Ikari Emuna, V'hayisod ha'chadasar hu shehu yis'aleh mishalem gemul tov l'misha mekayim mitzvos ha'toro manish misha over al azharoseha v'sheh gemulo ha'gadol hu ha'olam haba v'on shoh ha'chamor akari. So the Rambam says again, belief in Olam Haba is one of the Ikari Emuna. Yeah.
How does it follow from the fact that it's that you need that Olam Haba is necessary for Tzidkei Kadin, and you have to understand what it means?
It doesn't, logically. I think what he's saying is, like all aspects of Torah, I assume he would agree that basic belief is sufficient, but like all aspects of Torah, if we want to, the more we can understand of Olam Haba, then the better we'll understand the nature of Tzidkei Kadin and the justice of Tzidkei Kadin, and that will be a, we'll know more of that which is true. But you're correct, and perhaps others would say it doesn't necessarily follow. One more expression of how and why this is so important can be seen in the nature of the dispute between Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov asks Esav to sell the Bechorah to him. It's not at all clear what the Bechorah is. But Esav's response is, Hine anochi holech lamos v'lama zeli Bechorah. I'm going to die anyway. What do I need the Bechorah for? Perhaps on a level of pshat, this means that the Bechorah is invaluable if you're going to die anyway. Some understand that because Esav was a hunter, he thought he wasn't going to enjoy the Yerusha. Rashi understands it's talking about Avod in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Avod in the Beis HaMikdash is going to kill me, and therefore what do I need it for? However, Chazal consistently understand that this is a machlokas about Olam Haba versus Olam Hazeh. The Gemara in Bava Basra says, Esav kafer b'tchias ha-mesim d'chsev hinei anochi holech lamos. Excuse me. It was Esav's belief that death is permanent. When he said hinei anochi holech lamos, what he was saying is that when I die, then I cease to exist. It was kfira b'tchias ha-mesim. It was kfira ba'olam haba. The Ramban elaborates, vayivez Esav es ha-bechora v'zu sibas bizo ya-bechora. Ki ein chafetz b'ksilim, rak shiyochlu v'yishtu v'yasu cheftzam b'itam, v'lo yachushu liyom hamachar. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die. That is the approach of Esav. That is what Esav said when he said, hine anochi holech lamos. It is the attitude that all that matters is the here and now. And in fact, Chazal understood that the essential nekudas hamachlokas between Yaakov and Esav was about Olam Hazeh versus Olam Haba. The Medrash says, Michra chayom b'choras chali amru, k'shahayu Yaakov Esav b'mei iman, meaning to say, as Rashi points out, this debate went back to their time when they were in utero, which is a reflection of its being a fundamental and essential debate. So what happened? Amar Yaakov le'Esav, achi, shnei olamos lefanenu, olam hazeh v'olam haba. Olam hazeh yesh bo achi levishtia, umaso matan lisa isha v'loholid banim ubanos. Olam haba, ein bo kol amidos halalu. Ritzon chatol ata olam hazeh v'ani olam haba, shenemar mechrach hayom es becharas chali, Keosa shah shayu bevet and imam, miyad kafar esav betchias amesim. Ba'amar ani olech lamus v'lamaze bechora. Ba'osa shah natal esav chalko biolam hazeh, v'yakov scharo biolam haba. So, This was their debate. Again, Esav seeing the here and now, Yaakov seeing that there's something that is eternal. The Gemara in Bava Basra writes that Tazayinim Abbas, that on the day that Esav sold the Bechora, he did five Averos. And if you look at them, there's not enough time now to analyze each one of those Averos. But each one of those Averos is a reflection of this attitude that all that matters is here and now and not the eternal. Just one reflection of this. One of the Averos that Gemara says he did was Ba'al Naira Murasa. So why does it say Ba'al Naira Murasa? Why didn't it say he just did adultery? Especially because we know that in that time, as the Rambam says, there was no Erisin. So why does it depict his Aveira as Ba'al Naira Murasa? And the answer, I heard this from my Rabbi Rav Aaron Lapiansky, is that Erisin is a reflection that a future status has an effect now. What's pshat in Erisin? Erisin is that even though right now she's Oda Beves Aviha, still, because in a year from now she's going to get married, already now she has the status of an Eishes Ish. Already now, if you're Baal Naira Murasa, it's a capital offense. Meaning to say, Erisin is a reflection of this concept that we don't just look at the here and now, but that the future events determine the reality as it exists in the present. And that is what the Gemara is saying was what Esav refused to affect. That's why it says, by the way, it's very fascinating, his kfira b'tchias ha-mesim is what caused him to be kofar b'ikr. It's very strange. It says that one of the averos that Esav did was he was kofar b'ikr, and another one was he was kofar b'tchias ha-mesim. So what's the pshat? I mean, obviously, if you're kofar b'ikr, you're kofar in Olam Haba. But the pshat was that it was his kfira in Olam Haba that led to his being kofar b'ikr. The Midrash implies that Yaakov's principal domain is Olam Haba. The Maral in Netzach Yisrael, Perek Tesvav, picks up on this. And this, the truth is, we don't have time to read very much of this Perek now, but it's very worthwhile Perek in that it elaborates upon this point, namely, why it is that we have a particular kesher to Olam Haba. The Maral even explains, based off of this, why it is that if the world was created for Jews, that we find that we are so frequently persecuted. He writes, Ki me'achar she'b'arnu b'rayos b'ruros, ki li'Yisrael him ikr ha'nivraim ba'olam hazeh, u'vishvilam nivra ha'olam, v'are ra'inu, Ki rov yemei Yisrael al heim bitzara uvegalus ba'olam hazeh ve'ein heim ikar ba'olam. Right? If lo nivra ha'olam ela bishvil Yisrael, so why is it that we have such a so many tzaras on this world? We know that when a prospective convert comes to convert, so we tell him that, you know, where this world is a world that's full of suffering and difficulty for Klal Yisrael. Ger Shabbal Isgayer, it's a Gemara in Mem Zayin Amad Aleph and Yevamos. Ger Shabbal Isgayer, Omrim Lo, Ma Ra'isa Shabbasal Isgayer, Ein Ata Yodeya, She Yisrael Bizman Azed Dechuyim, sorry, Devuyim, Schufim Umiturafim, V'Yisurin Barna Layan, V'Amar, Vimamar Yodei Ani, Af Al Pichein, Ein Yichidai, then Mekablim Oso. Ve'omrim Lo, Havi Yodei Sholom Haba, Eino Misukan, Elo Letzadikim, V'Yisrael. V'zman Hazeh, Einam Yicholim Lekabel, Rov Tova, V'Rov Puranios. So, what we basically tell him is that the reason why we can't have so much, why it's difficult for us in Olam Hazeh, is because fundamentally our true place of existence is Olam Haba. And that's what the Maral writes. The Maral explains this might relate to the debate between Yitzchak and Rivka. The Maral explains that Olam HaZeh and Olam HaBa are fundamentally opposites. And therefore, if your principal makom is Olam HaBa, then you're going to have to sacrifice in terms of Olam HaZeh, and likewise the reverse. V'atshuv al zeh, ki chachameinu zal b'divreihem ha-ne'emanim, higidu lanu ta'alumos chachma, ki Olam HaZeh einu miyuchad li-Yisrael. V'im ayu Yisrael mulchanim l'Olam HaZeh, v'hayachelkam b'Olam HaZeh, hayazeh she'ela gedola. So if our makom was Olam HaZeh, then taka would be a good shiloh. Why is it that we have so much tzaras on Olam HaZeh? Kasher hachet shelahem hayagorim kol kach harichus hagalus. Aval Yisrael ein roi lahem Olam HaZeh. Ve'ein ikar chalkam ba'olam HaZeh hagashmi. Rak Yisrael kol ma'alasam umadregasam shehem nivdalim min hagashmi. Essentially, we are nivdal from the gashmi, meaning to say, our role is to elevate ourselves beyond that which is physical. Ve'ech yal alada sheyorshim Olam HaZeh hagashmi. Now, to be sure, this is not so simple. Think back to the quote that we had from the Rav before, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos of Yafesh Sha Achas Be'olam HaZeh. And one of the ideas, and this might go back to your question of why is it important to understand Olam HaBa, is that we'll see both simplistic approaches do not really explain, I think, the Torah's view. There are two natural approaches. One is to be totally otherworldly focused and say what this Maral, at least superficially, seems to be indicating, which is that our place is entirely Olam HaBa and we're not here at all for Olam HaZeh, or Olam HaZeh is just an antechamber to get to Olam HaBa, but has no inherent significance other than as a hallway to get to where we're ultimately heading, and to be entirely Olam HaBa focused. The other approach is to take the other extreme, not Esav's extreme, but again, perhaps the simplistic understanding of that passage from the Rav, that the halachic man has no interest and no concern in anything but Olam HaZeh, because this is the place of Torah and Mitzvot, this is the place where he can make a difference. I believe that the Shvil HaZahav, and Ezras Hashem, as we learn this sugya, we'll have a better understanding of that, is to recognize both. Recognize that when we look at the Makoros in Torah, we'll see that there is indeed a very powerful focus on Olam HaBa, but that's not meant to come at the exclusion of Olam HaZeh. Yes?
So you may have kind of addressed this just now, but what the Maral is saying is that the Maral is only explaining why we don't have such a geschmack experience in Olam HaZeh. It doesn't explain why it's so bad and so difficult. He just explains that it wouldn't make sense for us to get our reward in this world because it's ephemeral, but it doesn't necessarily...
So he goes further. He says, he doesn't explain it, but he definitely... You're asking he doesn't explain it or he doesn't say it?
Meaning he's explaining why... He's explaining the lack of good. He's not explaining the presence of bad.
Right. Take a look at the other passage over here. You see where it says, V'al yikshelecha? V'al yikshelecha achar sheYaakov muchan el ha'olam ha'nivdal ha'bilti gashmi v'esev muchan el ha'gashmi mahu ha'machlokesh. Sorry, a little later. So there he talks about what is their debate. He says, actually, that Yaakov, much in, like what you were saying, Yaakov, it's a diuk in Rashi. Rashi says, on that pasuk, v'yisrotetzu abanim b'kirbam, so Rashi says, misrotetzim zeim zeh, umirivim b'nachal ha'shnei olamim. And the Maral is medayik, that it says there, mirivim al nachlas shnei olamim, meaning to say, be'etzim Yaakov wanted both, and Esav wanted both. Yaakov said, I want Olam HaZeh and Olam HaBa. Esav said, I want Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. If it was simply Yaakov wanted Olam Haba and Esav wanted Olam Hazeh, there'd be no need for a fight. So they fundamentally wanted both. But what? So they were merivim al shnei olamos. Ki Yaakov ayarotza b'olam hazeh uvi olam haba. Kilu ein kan Esav v'chol zeh mitzad hisnagdo shalahem be'atzmam. Aval iafshar shiyu shnei ha'olamos liyakov l'esav b'yachad. Ki im hayu shnei hafachim b'nosei achad. Ki im ken hayu shnei hafachim b'nosei achad. Ki ha'olam shu ha'nosei lahem hu ha'olam echad. V'yu bo ha'afachim moshlim bo. Davar zeh iafshar uvishvil zeh hayu misrotzitzim. Meaning to say, the Maral isn't saying that it's impossible to enjoy Olam Hazeh even if you're Jewish and even if you are spiritually oriented. We know that's not true. There are many mitzvos that require enjoying Olam Hazeh. And like we said before, the idea of pleasure in Olam Hazeh is not something that's inherently antithetical to Torah belief. Simchas Yantif and the like. However, the way the Maral seems to be explaining it is that if your ikur is Olam Haba, so then inevitably you're going to have to sacrifice vis-a-vis the Olam Hazeh at times. You can't, it's inherently impossible to say, I'm going to have everything all the time. And the question is, where are you going to sacrifice? Where are you going to give up? Where is there going to be at times a chisaron? Bikesh Yaakov Leshev v'shalva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said lo dayan that they get Olam Haba, they want Olam Hazeh as well, miad kafta l'avrozom shel Yosef. Meaning to say that there are tzaddikim that are zocha l'shnei olamim, and there are tzaddikim that are zocha l'shalva b'olam hazeh. But if you're goal, if your orientation is spiritual and therefore associated to Olam Haba, then you can't necessarily always have Olam Hazeh, because there are times when there's a stira. And therefore, the Maral and the Gemara isn't explaining why we are always trudim me Olam Hazeh. There are times when Klal Yisrael also has a good. But what we say to the prospective convert is that because we want Olam Haba, that's what we said, because we want Olam Haba, so therefore there are going to be times, and Galus is a time where this is especially felt, where we can't have both. So it's not an inherent stira in the sense that it is always the case, right? And therefore the Torah doesn't demand of us that we renounce Olam Hazeh. Nevertheless, there are times when we will have to give up one in favor of the other. But hopefully, as we go on, we'll have a better understanding of this. It is a difficult concept, to be sure. So the first thing that we have to consider about the nature of Olam Haba is Olam Haba natural, or is it compensatory reward? What do I mean to say? Reward can be natural or artificial. L'mashal l'ma davar domeh. If I go ahead and I tell my kids, I'll clean up your room, and if you do a good job, I'll give you a lollipop. So there's no inherent connection between the lollipop and their room being clean. It's totally an artificial reward. Now, I may choose to do so, partially because I know there's no other way that they're going to clean up their room. But it's totally artificial. There's no inherent connection. And even when it comes to chinuch, a much stronger approach to chinuch is to highlight and show children that there's natural reward. Right? If they clean up their room, then it'll be pleasant to walk into their room, and they might find that toy that they've been missing all this time. And it's much more pleasant. They'll enjoy the world, their room, right? So that is a natural reward. Kids, you should clean up your room because you'll feel much better if your room is clean. Now, it doesn't always work, but it's true. In other words, reward and likewise punishment. There could be a punishment of a child that, again, has nothing to do with the breach that they did, or there could be a natural consequence. If you make a low-level choice, then the natural consequence is that you'll have to eat the fruits of your low-level choice. If you're mean, people won't like you. You don't need to say, if you're mean to your friends, then I'm going to throw you in your room, I'm going to ground you. If you're mean to your friends, you won't have friends, right? So reward, punishment can be artificial, it could be natural. So what is the nature of Olam Haba and the type of reward that we're saying? Chazal tell us that Olam Haba fundamentally is a natural reward. One place where the Medrash Mos Rabbah picks up on this is the Pasuk in Koheles, Ki holecha adam el beis olamo. The Medrash is medayek, olamim ein ksiv kan el olamo. It doesn't say you're going to go to Olam Haba. It says you're going to go to beis olamo. The Medrash understands that means to your olam, to the bias you build. You build your own Olam Haba. Al tikri banayach el bonayach. We're builders. And among the things that we build is our olam. Olam Haba is not just this thing that if you're a good person, you go there. But through the high-level choices that we make while we're on this world, we are building our Olam Haba. The Rambam writes in his Mamar on Tchiyas HaMeisim that Inyan Asher, concerning Olam Haba, Inyan Asher Beteva Minhago Shel Olam. The concept of Olam Haba is minhago shel olam. It is natural. It's not artificial. It's not this thing that, oh, if you're really good, you're, you know, going to get to go to a world with all the pleasures that you could imagine. No. If you perfect yourself spiritually, if you transform yourself into a good person, then naturally you'll be able to experience Olam Haba. There's a joke that they say. Two people die. One person spent his life learning and toiling in Torah and the like, and the other person spent his life, you know, wasting his time and not being very serious, focusing on pleasures and not Torah. And so they both die, and they're friends, they knew each other the whole time, and they're going up, and they're being led to the same place. And the guy who, you know, worked so much in Torah is starting to feel a little bad. You know, here he was schwitzing away in the Beis Medrash his whole life, and he's going to the same place that this other guy who is, you know, wasting his time the whole life. So they go, and they open a door, and they say, "Welcome! Here's the Beis Medrash," right? So the guy who spent his whole life learning in the Beis Medrash, this is Olam Haba, what could be better? Beis Medrash, a place to learn for eternity. The guy who didn't use his life in the same way, so what could be a greater Gehenim than spending eternity in the Beis Medrash, right? So, it's a joke, of course, but there's a strong kernel of truth, which is that if a person can transform themselves into a good person in this world, so then they will naturally enjoy Olam Haba. That's what the Rambam means when he says it's teva, it's minhago shel olam, it's natural. The Ramban even says, we'll see this a little later on, he says, one of the reasons why the Torah does not feel a need to talk about Olam Haba is because it's obvious. What does the Torah focus on? It focuses on reward in Olam Hazah. And Bechukosai Teilechu Ves Mitzvosai Tishmiru V'Nasati Gishmeichem V'Yitam V'Nasnar Tzivulav Eitz HaSadeh Yitain Periyo. That's a chiddush. That's a chiddush that a mitzvah, something which is spiritual, should lead to a Gishmak Olam Hazah. That's surprising. Doesn't make sense. Why should it be that doing mitzvos leads to a good crops and lots of rain? So that's what the Torah has to stress. But Olam Haba? That's Pashut. It's Pashut that mitzvos and Torah, which are spiritual, will be rewarded spiritually. It's a natural consequence of doing that which is right. And accordingly, it doesn't need to be stressed. That's why the Torah always refers to Olam Haba as Chayim, Uvacharta V'chayim, because it's the natural consequence of life. And so the Torah says, you want, if you do the mitzvos, ulekach, the Ramban writes, ulekach yom raksuvim b'schara mitzvos, leman yarichun yamecha, leman tichya, v'harachta yamim. Fundamentally, and more than anything else, what Olam Haba is, the Torah is telling us, is it's arichus yamim. But arichus yamim in the truest sense. And this might be why the Rambam, as we'll see later, downplays Gehenim. Because the Rambam writes the most egregious possible punishment that we could have is not Gehenim. It's simply this lack of Chayim, the lack of Olam Haba. The Rambam writes in Ches Aleph of Hilchos Tshuva, Tova tzifuna letzadikim hi chaye olam haba v'yachayim she'en maves imahen v'atova she'en imat ra'a. Right? Olam haba is chayim. Hu shekasev b'torah leman yitav lach v'harach d'yamim v'piyashmu alamdu leman yitav lach li'olam shekulo tov v'harach d'yamim li'olam shekulo arach. V'zehu ha'olam haba. Olam haba, more than anything else, is arichos yamim. It's the nitzchios haneshama. That's the schara tzadikim. Hu shiyizke lenoam hazeh v'yiyu b'tov hazu. U'piron ha'rishayim hu. Shekol shelo yizku l'chayim elu. Elo yicharsu v'yamusu. What is the ultimate punishment? It's that you don't get this. The worst conceivable punishment, according to Rambam, is not to be able to enjoy this eternal life. Rather, yichrisu v'yamusu. V'chol mi she'enu zoch l'chaim elu hu hames she'enu chai le'olam ela nichras b'risho v'avad k'behema. There could be nothing worse. Nothing worse than simply dying. That when a person dies, when they're 70 or 80 or 90 years in Olam Hazeh, comes to a conclusion, then that's it. And that's what the Rambam says is the worst conceivable punishment. That's kares. Gehenim is an opportunity. It's a gift. It's a way to purify your soul and prepare yourself for chaye netzach. Even worse is simply not being able to experience. Mipiashmu alamdu ikares ba'olam hazeh ti kares li olam haba. When the pasuk says he kares ti kares, what's the double lashon? Olam hazeh and olam haba. Now the truth is, when you just read this, it sounds like there's nothing else besides kares. There's no such thing as Gehenim. In fact, there were those who accused Rambam of not believing in Gehenim, and we'll talk about that a little later. L'chore, it is not correct. But nevertheless, we can understand why the Rambam stresses when he focuses on what the worst possible thing could be. It's simply lack of Olam Haba. The Nefesh HaChaim elaborates upon this idea that Olam Haba is natural. He bases it, among other things, on the pasuk of Ki Poel Adam Yishalim Lo from Sefer Iyov. He writes that V'zehu Inyan Schar Olam Haba Shehu Maaseh Yidei HaAdam Atzmo She'achar Pridas Nafsho Me'aguf Hu Ha'ola L'Hisadein U'Hasbiya Nafsho V'Tzach Tzuchus Ha'oros V'Akochos V'Alamos HaKadoshim She'nitosvu V'nisrabu mimaisav hatovim. He goes to the house that he built. And that's why they say, Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelak li Olam Haba. Why don't we say, Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelak bi Olam Haba? Because if it said bi olam haba, it would imply that there's this thing called olam haba, and if you're good, or really kol Yisrael, you go there. But that's not the pshat. The lo amru bi olam haba. Shemashmau hayasha ha'olam haba hu muchan me'es habriya. Kadosh Baruch Hu created olam hazeh, created olam haba, and if you're good, you go there. No, that's not the pshat. Aval ha'emes sheha'olam haba hu ma'aseh yidei ha'adam atzmo. Shehirchiv v'hosiv v'hiskin chelek li'atzmo b'maisav. And therefore, fundamentally, whether you describe this concept mystically like the Nefesh HaChaim does over here, or you understand it rationally like the Rambam does, especially with his focus on the intellectual, the conclusion is the same, that Olam Haba is natural. It's something that comes as a natural consequence of our high-level choices and our good deeds. The Nefesh HaChaim explains that the truth is that even as we're alive, we can feel this. Most people are not spiritually sensitive enough to notice that they're building olamos when they do mitzvos. Perhaps even regular people to some degree have an inkling of this. And the same thing with respect to when we do that which is wrong, that we're building Gehenna around us. We destroy ourselves when we do that which is wrong. It's not simply that we're going to be castigated after we die, but we destroy ourselves. One last point. Perhaps this is what Chazal say when the Gemara says in Tainis, Kelam unave ein avel, kelam unak, shem shenefraim min avishayim l'olam haba, afilo al avera kala sha'osin, kach nefraim ala tzadikim v'olam hazeh, al avera kala sha'osin. So this is a major source to understand theodicy. Why is it that tzadikim suffer in olam hazeh and rishayim prosper? And on one level, the Gemara says the answer is that the Rishayim are being rewarded for the good deeds that they do. After all, most wicked people do some things that are meritorious. And likewise, even tzaddikim occasionally sin, ein tzaddik v'artzeh she'yaseh tov lo yachta, and therefore they're being punished for that which they do wrong. And the Gemara says this is an example of kel emunah ve'ein avel, God's perfect justice. And l'chora, it's tamua, because that's not fair. That's not fair. Olam haba is so much better than olam hazeh. So why is it fair to give the tzaddikim the good reward in olam haba, and to give the rishayim the lousy reward in olam hazeh, and to give the tzaddikim the, relatively speaking, more benign suffering in olam hazeh, and thereby save them from the horrific suffering in olam haba? How is this an example of kel emunah ve'ein avel? How does this highlight divine justice? The answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us what we want. The tzaddik's orientation is not olam hazeh, it's olam haba. Where does he want to be rewarded? It's olam haba. It's like we were saying when we discussed the machlokas between Yaakov and Esav. What is their orientation? So accordingly, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a person what they want. The place where you are directed towards, that is where you will end up. So if your direction is olam hazeh, so then the good deeds that you do in olam hazeh will be rewarded in olam hazeh. And if your orientation is nitzchius, so then you'll get exactly what you want. And memeila, you might have to suffer a little more on this world. Be'ezras Hashem will pick up next week, and we'll have an even, perhaps another, even tiefer understanding of this last Gemara. Have a wonderful Shabbos.